Hello and welcome back to Break Your Budget, the podcast. My name's Michaela and I am your host, and we are back for week two of the pod in 2022. So far, we're two for two. Like I said in the episode last week, if you haven't listened to it already, my goal this year is to make this podcast a little bit more of a thing and come up with a consistent weekly schedule and actually stick to it. So I know if I put it out there, I'm way more likely to do it, and that's why I'm sharing it with you. But today, the topic of today's episode is going to be all of my income streams in 2021, how much I made in my business, broken down by what. I'm actually going to share and reveal some real numbers. You guys know that I don't always reveal real numbers on my Instagram. And the reason I do that is just because, I don't know, Instagram feels a little bit more invasive than the podcast. I'm a lot more open to sharing real stuff on the podcast for whatever reason. So I'm going to be diving deep into a lot of that right now. I guess we'll just jump right into it. I don't think I have any new life updates just yet. Last week, I gave you all a quick little update about all the stuff that's been going on, how I've been feeling. And, you know, this week we are really sticking to a schedule. I guess I do have one little, you know, life update. So I had mentioned in the podcast last week that I bought an iPad, and I think I'm going to become an iPad influencer because I am freaking obsessed with using my iPad. It is so far the best thing that I've ever bought because it just keeps everything all in one place and it's so easy to organize. So I ended up buying a planner from Flourish Planner, her 2022 planner, and I also bought her content planner. And I love them both because they're so easy to use, and I can use my Apple Pencil to write in like all of my to-do lists, my content plans, whatever. But the cool thing is that I can erase it if it changes. So that was always my thing with notepads. When I would use a pen, is like you put a to-do list and then your whole day kind of changes, and all the things that you had put on your list you don't accomplish because the trajectory of your day ended up being totally different than what you thought. That always used to make me feel bad or like disorganized, and I just didn't like it. But I think I've been able to stick to using the iPad because it's so easy to erase and redo things, where you can't really do that with like a pen and a paper. And it just makes everything feel so much cleaner. So I've been doing a few things, one being for like 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. I'm just mapping out my day ahead. So I've been using the nighttime to like go through what I had done for the day, what I need to carry over for the next day. And then in the morning before I log into work and stuff, I'll just skim through my to-do list again and make sure that it still all flows, that everything feels good. And I've also been mapping out my day. So in her planner, there's a section where you can like map out hour by hour. I don't know if I'm going to use that all the time, but for days, like today, for example, I just have a lot going on. So what I did was I mapped out all of the like meetings that I had for my 9-to-5 job, and then I mapped out the breaks I was going to take and what I was going to do during those breaks. Then I added in time to record my podcast. I added in time for when I'm going to go on a walk. I added in time to eat, time to do my Pilates, all that stuff. So it just like gives me a little bit of a visual of what I'm going to be doing during the day. And it's actually really helped me with my productivity. So far, everything with the iPad is working. I'm really liking being able to do lists. It's making me feel like I'm actually accomplishing things, but I'm still learning. I'm still figuring out what works for me. I think I'm going to be a little bit more precise about how I schedule out my days during the week in terms of break your budget stuff. So in the past, I've kind of just gone based off of whatever I remember I need to do. And it's obviously, that's not a sustainable way to build a six-figure business. Like I have a lot of things that just have to get done and I forget about them if I don't write them down. So I think what I'm going to do is start scheduling out my weeks where like on Monday I do TikTok stuff, on Tuesday I do Instagram stuff, on Wednesday I do podcast stuff, like sort of like that, so that each day I'm hyper-focused on one thing and I'm not scatterbrained and my mind is only focused on one social media platform. I'll get it all done for that week or the next week, whatever it may be. And then the next day I just move on. And I think that's going to really help me. So I'll keep you all updated on how that actually pans out, how I stick to it. But the planner that I'm using has like a weekly thing. So we'll see how it goes. Let me know if you like these like productivity little planning updates. Like I said, I've been really enjoying planning. It's definitely something I want to talk about more because I think it's very applicable to your finances when you are planning out your days, you feel productive, you feel like you're accomplishing things. You're also a lot more likely to pay attention to how you're spending your money. You're also a lot more likely to pay attention to your financial plan, update your expenses. You can factor that in. You can add it to your to-do list. So I think there is a little bit of a ripple effect there. And I think that, you know, going into a new year, talking about productivity, time management, it's something that we can all do. It permeates our finances. It ultimately absolutely permeates our career, which is another topic that I'm going to be diving into in 2022. So I think it's really important to instill these kinds of habits for overall, you know, well-being. So that's my little update. Like I said, the topic of today's episode is my revenue income streams for my business in 2022 or 2021, actually. And I'm going to go through how I like did all of my bookkeeping this year, all the different income streams. And I hope that it's eye-opening to you on all of the different facets of my business and all the different things that I have going on in order to actually reach six figures, because I think it's, you know, something that we see, at least maybe I'm on one side of TikTok, but I do see a lot of people on TikTok talk about how they are six-figure business owners or they're making all of this money doing influencing and brand deals and all of that. And I think it's really great, but it's also important to remember that a sustainable business, like, you need to have multiple income streams, especially if you want to make it a real business and not just like a side hustle. Not saying that a side hustle isn't a real business, but something that's actually scalable and legitimate and that you can rely on. So I think that's really important, that having a business, if you have a side hustle and you want to turn it into a full-time thing, I'm not speaking from experience because I have not yet done that, but to build a framework, you need to have multiple different income streams. So the visibility here, I hope, is helpful and eye-opening to you on, like I said, all of the things that I have going on. So I have my 2021 business budget tracker up. And if you are a business owner, I do have the same tracker that I use available for sale on my website. So you can go in there and pick it up if you'd like. I like it because it's set up like a zero-based budget, but it also forecasts like tax estimates and stuff. And that's really helpful for me just to make sure I'm setting aside enough money for taxes. So I have a couple of different revenue streams, and throughout 2021, my revenue streams evolved and changed. So at the beginning of the year, really in Q1, when I was just getting more established on TikTok and my Instagram following was relatively small, I think at the beginning of 2021, I had like 2,000 followers on Instagram. I really didn't have that much. And now a year later, I'm at almost 25K. So if you're consistent, you can make it happen. But I used to do one-on-one consults, and I also had a coaching program called Master Your Money where I had a few clients come through that. So between those in Q1 of last year, I'm pretty sure I'm just calculating it out now. I made like $2,000 maybe, $2,500, which at the time felt like a lot of money, but it really wasn't all that much to like keep things moving. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I really, really, really didn't like doing one-on-ones because it just didn't feel right to me. I didn't feel qualified to be telling people what to do. And also I felt like a lot of people would come into the meetings with expectations that we would talk about investing and like how they should invest and what they should do. And unfortunately, you know, and this was all disclosed ahead of the meeting, but I'm not licensed to do that. And I can't tell you that in any context, especially a one-on-one setting, that's like extremely illegal. So it was just like really not the right path for me. And I was really trying to figure out different ways to bring in more money without exchanging hours and hours of my time, because I also work a 9-to-5 job And having one-on-ones was really, really draining because somebody's paying me to help them with their finances. Like, I had to be fully present, you know, fully engaged during those meetings. And sometimes after a long day at work, like, you're just tired. And it's really hard to do that, but you have to give this person the attention that they deserve. So it just wasn't aligned for me. It wasn't bringing in the money that I really felt was necessary. And in order for me to make the money that I wanted to make doing it, I had to charge people a lot more than I felt comfortable with. So it just wasn't the right thing. So ultimately, where my major income streams evolved to over the course of the first like 6 or so months of last year were through brand deals, through template sales, and through course sales. So those are kind of like my three different big buckets of income. I'll start with brand deals because I feel like that's where a lot of people are the most curious. So brand deals were my biggest income stream in 2021. And at the end of the year, I was paid $52,000 from brand deals. One caveat with that is that was only what I was paid for in 2021, but it's not the same amount as what I actually earned. And I think that that's something that a lot of people also don't really think about when it comes to like a business and turning over the year and bookkeeping and accounting. So small businesses usually follow what's called a revenue recognition method. And that means that you recognize the revenue when you're actually paid. So I actually had, let me pull it up. I track everything. I actually had about $20,000 worth of brand deals that I did in 2021 that I still, now 2 weeks into 2022, have not been paid for. So really that number is a little bit low. I would say 2021, I actually came in around 70K. I have absolutely no idea if this is anywhere in the realm of not only what you expected me to say, but also what other creators make. I think one of the big things that I want to do on my platform is share high level numbers around what I make, A, for transparency, but B, because I have no idea if I'm being underpaid or overpaid, you know, but I think based on what I can see from other creators, I think I'm more on the low end when it comes to payments for brand deals. And so a breakdown of this, I legally am contractually obligated. I'm not allowed to disclose what I was paid for each brand deal. But I can give you, I think, a high level. So one of my major partners was Wealthfront. And they had me on retainer for 5 months of last year, August, September, October, November, December. And they paid me a flat rate every single month for 2 videos that I would post on both TikTok and Instagram. And I would also share 3 to 5 story slides for each video, whether that be resharing the post and also, you know, talking about it on my stories, plugging it in my Q&As. And I really like working with Wealthfront. I'm hoping to work with them again in 2022. We haven't signed any contracts or anything yet, unfortunately. I'm still going to talk about them on my page because I like them. I just don't know if my link is going to work anymore. So I need to figure that out. But they were one of my, they weren't actually my biggest sponsor, but they were a recurring sponsor. And so that's something that I think as a creator is so important, finding recurring sponsors that you align with and that are aligned with what you're doing, because not only does it create recurring revenue for you, but it also builds trust with your audience. Like, I'm not recommending to you guys 50 different investment apps just because all these different companies are paying me to say so. I'm only recommending to you one, and it's one that I use, that I believe in, who also believes in me to promote their product. So it's a really great little deal that we had going on. And like I said, I'm sad that that ended. Another big, I guess, layer within the brand deal space was content that I created for other pages. So some brands would reach out to me, like Refinery 29. I did a big deal, one of my a five-figure deal with them. That was one of the biggest ones that I've done, where I created a couple of videos for them to then reshare both on their TikTok, their Instagram, and on their website. I love doing things like that. I think it's an amazing way to obviously make money, but to get FaceTime in a different platform and to create content for other brands. I think that's a huge, and it's going to be a huge market next year if you are somebody who's trying to get into content creation and make money online. Making content for brands to use on their socials is something that I think a lot of brands are going to start to utilize this year because they want to capitalize on creators that have a following to get brand recognition more so than just have like basically an ad break or a commercial on somebody's page, which is what I think of when I think of a sponsored post. So that was a way that I made money. I also did a brand deal with a tax company. They did like an email campaign. So that wasn't a sponsored post. That was, I think, I mean, I posted about it on my Instagram, but that wasn't contractually obligated. I just wanted to. That was a written piece that they converted into an email. That's another layer of sponsored content that as a creator or content creator, you can do. And then I also got paid for interviews. So I did a couple of interviews where different brands wanted to pick my brain around my audience and questions people ask me, and they actually paid me for that time. So that's another, again, sponsored brand deal-esque kind of layer to the broader brand deal income stream that I made money from in 2021. So there are a lot of different ways to do sponsored content, and it's not all, you know, sharing something on a page. It could be, like I said, creating content for other brands to use on their socials, doing interviews, doing written content. There's so many different avenues for that, but that was absolutely, without a doubt, my biggest income stream in 21, and I hope that it stays that way in 2022. I think that kind of layers into, or I guess segues into my thoughts before I get into the next piece of building a side hustle, and I think the glorification of brand deals. You know, I think it's really important that if you have an audience and you're able to monetize your page and you're putting time into something, like hours and hours of time, I think it's really cool that we live in a world where you can get paid for that. I think one thing, though, to keep in mind, if you do want to create content and make it sustainable, your entire business model can't be reliant on brand deals because they are inconsistent. And unless you're able to sign regular recurring like contracts or partnerships, or you have an enormous audience where you're getting tons and tons of legitimate requests every single day, it is hard to predict what your income will look like if you're fully reliant on sponsored content. I also think it's really important when you're doing sponsored content or thinking about adding sponsored content as an income stream to be mindful about it. So I think I am going to do a full episode on sponsored content because I don't want to talk about it forever on here. But when I approach sponsored content, I approach it differently on TikTok versus Instagram because my audiences on those platforms are different. And I charge, even though I have less followers on Instagram, I charge more because my audience on Instagram is A, more engaged, and B, just more involved with me and what I put out there. I get more comments, more conversations in my DMs, whereas on TikTok, sure, my audience is bigger, but my DMs on TikTok are turned off. I can't communicate individually with people outside of just comments on there. So it's just a little bit different. And the approach that I take to TikTok versus Instagram is I'm more open to doing a sponsorship on TikTok with either a lesser known brand or a brand that I don't already use, but obviously believe in. You know, I test things out before I talk about it because the reach on TikTok is a lot different and there could be products that my demographic on TikTok would be interested in more so than my demographic on Instagram. Like the demographics of people on the platform are different. I feel like on TikTok, I have a broader range of people. I have a lot more men. I have a lot of younger people, like college students, we're on Instagram, you know, because I'm also sharing things about my day-to-day life, and I'm 26-year-old woman. Like, I have a lot more 20-year-old women and women in their 20s following me on Instagram. That's the concentrated in my audience more so there than on TikTok. So I hope that makes sense. But like I said, I'll do a whole episode on that. But that segues into my next layer, which is templates. So one way that I build a business that's, you know, more predictable for me, but also like belongs to me and I have a lot more control over, are templates and course sales. And that's because I don't need a brand to reach out to me in order to sell my templates. Like, I can sell those on my own. I can plug those on my own on my social channels as many times as I want, as organically as possible, because obviously, you know, the templates that I sell are templates that I created for myself and use for myself. So it's a little bit different, but my template sales, here, let me adjust my, I'm literally in my spreadsheet right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to adjust it and see and add up how much I made from templates. So I made last year about $38,000 from my templates, which is kind of crazy between the PFD and I do sell 2 templates on my website. I sell a personal budget template and I also sell a business budget template. That's the business budget template that I'm using right now to talk about this. So I love selling templates because they're very low stakes and I can build it up to be as involved or not involved as I want. So the way that I've structured the PFD, since for a template, it is priced at a premium. It's $60, $50 though, if you listen to the podcast, use the code podcast1. It is priced at a premium, and it's priced at a premium for a couple of reasons. One, because I do put it on sale pretty frequently. 2, because it comes with a lifetime guarantee. You know, if you don't like, well, a 30-day money back guarantee. If you buy the PFD and you don't like it, I will give you your money back if you email me and tell me why kindly. If you send me a rude email, not only am I not going to respond, but I will not process the refund for you. Second of all, you get it forever. So I think that's a big thing, is I don't, unlike many other content creators who sell their templates for less money, I don't make you pay for a new version, where I see a lot of other creators will sell their templates every year. You have to buy a new one. I don't believe in that. I think, you know, if you're investing in your finances and you're serious about it, I'm not going to make you pay for me to just change the dates. Or if I am using it myself and I'm like, oh, this is something that I've added into my template, I think other people would like this. Like, I'm not going to make you pay for a new one. You can just have it. You already paid for it. So that's my own personal philosophy. I've absolutely lost money because of that. But like I said, I think, you know, I'm not in the business of making people buy the same thing over and over again with one little tweak. So if you buy the PFD, you do get it forever, which is part of why it's priced at where it's at. The other reason I price it high is because I think if you're going to start taking your finances seriously, you play and you show up when you pay. And that's really important to me. If you spend $60 on a template, or I guess $45 if it's on sale, or $50 if you use the podcast code, if I'm not running another active sale, you're going to show up and you're going to use it because you spent money on it. You spent a good chunk of money on it. And that's really my intention there. The reason why is because I find that a lot of people say that they want a budget and they say that they want to change their finances, and they'll go Google some template, or they'll go on Etsy and they'll pay $5 for a budget template. And because they have like literally no skin in the game, if you pay nothing, like you just download one, or you download a free app that has ads and stuff, or you're only paying $5, like, you don't have enough skin in the game to care. And you're not actually going to see any progress if you're not using a tool consistently. And in the instances in my life where I've shown up and been consistent is usually when I've invested money into something because I'm like, I want to get my money's worth, you know, like I spent $60 on this template, damn well I'm going to use it. So that's part of why it's priced the way it is. And then, you know, I also continuously add stuff to it. I add new features, like the Facebook group, for example, where, you know, you can see all of the other people who are using the template and you can ask questions. And I provide 24-hour basically customer service where if you email me a question about the PFD, I will answer you usually within an hour or two, but at most 24 hours, I'll get back to you. You're hearing directly from me. I don't have some helpline that's, you know, answering questions, and I'll go in and troubleshoot it for you. So those are all of the reasons why it's priced as high as it is. And it also gives me some stability because remember, in order for me to maintain this, like I'm actively in my spreadsheet making sure that everything's working properly. I am human, so there have been formula errors that I've, you know, adjusted and communicated. But I'm actively, constantly looking for ways to improve it. I'm always talking about it. I'm always using it. I'm always troubleshooting it. So pricing it where it's at is really helpful for me to actually make sure that I'm being paid for all of the work that I'm doing. It is a full-time job. And on top of that, it's amazing to me how many people have bought the PFD and use it to better their financial life. Like that's one of those things that I just cannot believe. I have sold at this point 740 personal finance dashboards, and that like absolutely blows my mind that there's 740 people out there using the template that I built in order to track and manage all of their finances. So I think that that's really cool. But like I said, that's a huge income stream for me. I'm hoping to double that next year. And I'm hoping to add some new spreadsheets to the game. I do sell a personal template that's like very basic. That's for those of you who like don't want the full shebang. I know a lot of people don't really want to have a huge spreadsheet because they know they won't use it. So I have a smaller one that I sell for $15 on my website. And then I have the business template as well that I sell for $25. So that's I don't sell nearly as many of those. So that's a much smaller income stream. But all in all, templates have been very, very, very lucrative for me this year. I can't, like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe how many people have bought this template. I never imagined it. And then my last income stream is courses. So I sell two courses. I sell what's called the Simple Saving System mini course. So that is a $27 course, and it has three modules, free worksheets, and you get the personal budget template with it. And I've sold I'm going to calc up how much I've sold for the Simple Saving mini course and the Break Your Budget Blueprint. I've made about $15,000 off of those total. So the Simple Saving mini course, like I said, is much smaller. It's really designed for beginners. And I price it a lot lower than what I think it's worth. I mean, you pay $15 for the template on my website and you get this whole course for $10 more, basically. So I personally think it's priced a little low, but I do that on purpose for people who maybe don't want to financially commit to the personal finance dashboard yet, or they want to get a taste of what they're going to get from a course that I've put together where it's pretty low stakes. And then I also sell the Break Your Budget Blueprint, which is, you know, my full comprehensive all-in-one personal finance basics course. That's a much longer one. It has a lot of trainings in it. You get the personal finance dashboard. And I've had a fair amount of people enroll in that. About 55 people are in that now. And about 100 in the Simple Saving mini course. So a lot of you guys are in there using those courses. And like I said, that's another pretty substantial income stream for me, but it's not nearly as high as just my template sales and my brand deals, obviously. So those are my three income streams in total. Again, I'm giving you guys rough estimates. In total for revenue in 21, I brought in $102,000, which I'm at a complete loss for words at how that's even possible. I cannot believe that I broke six figures this year while also working a full-time job and moving. So that is just mind-boggling to me. But I think it goes to show a couple of lessons that I want to share at the end of this is, one, if you want to start a side hustle, like, you are entirely capable of doing so. And I say that because I am like the most shy, reserved person. And in order for me to put myself out there on TikTok and on Instagram and like tell people and deal with people finding it and like saying things to me, all positive, but like working through the idea of all of the judgment that, you know, I'm sure people in my, from high school or college that have found me have said, you know, underhanded things, whatever. It's so out of character for me. Like, it took me so much to put myself out of my comfort zone like that, even to the point where in my personal life, like, I don't talk about my business. I don't hype myself up as much as I should. I don't sell myself as much as I should in my personal life. I kind of keep it very private and I don't talk about it at all. And I think that that's something, or that goes to show that even if you think you're somebody who is too shy or you don't want to put yourself out there online, it is possible for you if you're willing to be a little bit uncomfortable. And the payoff clearly is significant if you are consistent. I think the other thing to remember, or the other lesson that I want to share about side hustles, is if you're somebody who's getting started with a side hustle and you're maybe not seeing the traction that you want in the time frame that you want, how important it is to be consistent. Consistency is the most important thing you can do when it comes to building a business and building an online presence. And for about a year, I was doing Break Your Budget, and I had a handful of like very loyal Instagram followers. But there was about a year there where I was hustling and I was not making any money. I felt like I was talking to no one. I was not seeing any Instagram growth. And I'm like, what am I doing? And eventually you get to a point where you have so many posts, you have enough traction, my God, talking for so long is difficult. Well, you have enough traction where something is going to hit, and all it takes is one post, whether it be on Instagram or on TikTok, to hit and like totally change everything. I think if you're starting out now and you want to see more immediate traction, like obviously TikTok is the place to do that. And TikTok is the one thing that really did change my business dramatically. If I hadn't gotten on TikTok last year, I would not be in the same position that I am today. I've only been on there for like a little over a year. I think TikTok is the best place to do that, to get started. And then you can have an Instagram as a supplement. So I think it's just, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're a shy person and you don't want to put yourself out there, you really should, and you should try, and you should get out of your comfort zone and just do it, because you'll always regret not doing it. And if you're somebody who started a side hustle and you haven't seen the progress that you want to see just yet, stick with it and be consistent and keep posting even when it feels like you're talking to no one, because people are listening. People can hear you. There are people who care. And there's 7 billion people in the world, and 2 billion of those people are on Instagram. So there is an audience for you, especially if you feel like it's oversaturated. I always think that that's the funniest comment, because when you think about it, like, think about how many people are on TikTok, over a billion people. And we look at like people who have followers, like a million followers, as huge accounts. Okay, that's not taking into account 999 million people more who aren't following that person. Like, there are so many people. There is an audience for what you're doing. There are people who are interested in what you have to say, and you just need to find them. And you can't find them if you're not posting consistently and putting out content that has the potential to reach them. So that's going to be my little lesson for today. I hope that this was helpful for you, or at least gave you line of sight into how I make money on my different social media accounts, how much money I am making realistically. And I never want to come off as like braggy or judgy or whatever. I really just want to share what I'm doing. I think another funny thing about doing a side business and like actually making money is, I look back and I'm like, damn, I only made 100K last year. And that's the negative side that comes with doing this and seeing other people make a lot of money too, is when you have a major accomplishment, like making what I did with my business last year is a huge. I had wanted to do that for so long. And at the beginning of last year, in no way did I think it was even possible for me to come close to making 100K, let alone get, you know, past that. But when you do get into this world, I guess, you see other people making twice as much money as you and putting out twice as much content as you and having twice as many followers as you. And it makes you feel like you're not doing enough. So I use this as a bit of a reflection of like, okay, next year, my goals are higher. Next year, I want to do twice as much. I want to double this. And how am I going to do that? And that's where having a side hustle can become all consuming. And it's so important to implement those boundaries. I don't really know what my point was there, but I just wanted to say, if you're thinking about starting a side hustle, you should do it. And hopefully this motivates you and shows you what's possible and how different people online make money and how much money they're actually making with similar follower sizes to me. I have about 25K followers on Instagram. I'm sure there are other creators who are my size who are making more money. I'm positive about that. But for me, I feel like I did pretty well last year, and I'm hoping to set myself up to do even better in 2022 by adding in more income streams. So my goal by mid of this year, hopefully, is to start doing some ads on the podcast. That's a bit of a touchy subject. I don't know, because I personally don't love when there's podcasts that have like 20 minutes of ads, but that is an idea that I have in my mind as a potential income stream. And then, like I said, I'm thinking about adding in some new templates. I think what I want to add in are some career templates, maybe a resume template or some type of career course or something. I'm not sure yet. I'd love your input if you have any ideas, but I want to start adding in some stuff around career, because obviously the one thing that impacts your personal finances the most is how much money you're making at your job. So that's all to come. If you like this podcast, make sure you leave me a review. I am sorry that they're always so rambly. I'm hoping to improve on that as I make more episodes. And I will catch you guys in the next episode next week.